Chapter 10. Shit, hissed Corporal Unga, the giant Tongan, just loudly enough for Reach to hear it. It was the first time in dealing with the Rangers that he'd received any pushback at all. In fact, this was far more in line with what Reach had expected in all his interactions. Who the hell was he to say he was coming along with a Ranger recon patrol, former Marine or otherwise?
Say again, sir? Sergeant Tran asked. You're coming out on a scouting mission with us?
With you or by myself, Reach answered, wanting to probe a little. I'd prefer it be with your team, though.
All due respect, sir, but you seem to be the man in charge of 2nd Platoon, and
I'm not. Tran looked away.
I'm saying why not take them?
They're busy. Tran bit his lip, then shook his head.
Your life, sir. We'll be ready for you if you can convince LT and the captain.
I'll arrange everything with the captain. How long do you need before moving out? The sergeant glanced at his troops.
15 minutes.
Do it, said Reach. As he headed back to the center of camp, he transmitted to Bosa, wanting to lay the groundwork for a face-to-face meeting.
Go ahead, O2, Bosa replied. Updates on the printers?
I do have those, sir, yes, but I need to speak with you. What's your 20?
Still in the array building. See you when you get here. Out.
That wasn't far, and at a run, it wasn't long until Reach was standing right outside. He shook some of the stress out of his arms and fingers before entering.
Here we go, he thought. Be convincing.
Captain Bosa was sitting at a makeshift table built out of paneling, a quick weld job holding it in place, a flat chunk of concrete under one of the legs serving as a level. He was working on 3 separate tablets at once, in collaboration with a pair of Space Force techs. Noticing Reach's arrival, the captain waved him over.
What can I do for you, Mr. Reach? Do we need to speak in private?
Those within earshot stopped what they were doing and stared.
No, Captain, Reach replied. I'll try to keep it brief. You're busy. I'd like to send Sergeant Tran's team back out in an attempt to find the Rupak base, sir. Didn't they already come back from doing just that?
Unsuccessfully.
Yes, sir. They patrolled locally, close enough that they were dealing with Rupak wounded who dragged themselves from the battlefield to wherever they're staging.
After consulting with Alexa, Reach looked to see if the android was in the room, but didn't see her. I think we'll find a basic camp within 3 clicks of Ohio. I'd like to start slicing the pie, sir. Head out a maximum of 4 clicks, 1 section at a time, starting tonight. I spoke with Sergeant Tran, and he says his Rangers are up to it.
No Ranger will ever tell you otherwise.
Captain Bosa crossed his arms and took in a deep breath, studying Reach.
You keep using I in your sentences. I take that to mean that you intend to accompany Tran's team?
That was my plan, sir, yes.
Why?
That wasn't the question Reach was expecting. Having gotten this far, he figured the next thing would be acquiring Lieutenant Sherman's assessment of the situation. He glanced at the personnel still standing around. Caught staring, they quickly found other things to occupy themselves with.
Sir, 2nd Platoon has a handle on the printers, he said softly. Lieutenant Sherman is occupied with defenses. I believe I will be able to lead Sergeant Tran and his team to find the base, and I believe the sooner that's done, the better we'll be. We own the night, sir. If Rupak is occupying the forest without fear of predators, we can do the same.
Bosa gave a half smile.
I wonder if that assessment would be echoed by Lieutenant Sherman.
Reach knew enough to keep quiet, allowing the captain to deliberate.
You know what would be helpful? Bosa finally asked. Having enough officers to keep this place running until more arrive.
When Reach didn't say anything in response, Bosa said,
I'd like to offer you a commission to serve as a first lieutenant in 2nd Platoon. You're a capable soldier who has established a surprising rapport with the men. I need men like you here, Jared. So yes, I'm willing to authorize the mission. That's fine. Those men are ready for the fight. But they're not in a place where they'll excel by being made into a brevet second lieutenant. I'll be leaning on you and Sherman heavily for the next couple of months, as officers.
That was it, the moment Alexa had spoken to Reach about. And he knew now why he couldn't accept.
He had a freedom inside the camp as a civilian that would be gone if he accepted that commission. And yes, things could easily change, and Bosa could rightfully exercise emergency control. But until that time...
That's quite an honor, Captain, Breach said, grasping for the right words that would keep their relationship healthy.
But I can't accept it. I'm the only representative of this colonial government, and I have to do what I think is best.
Bosa leaned back in his chair, biting his thumb. For a moment, Reach could almost feel the ass-chewing coming. But it never came.
You're not going to let this one go, are you?
If it's of any value, Dr. Roman said, appearing behind Captain Bosa's chair. As a citizen of this colony and not a military man, I appreciate Mr. Reach's willingness to assist. And you well know, Captain Bosa, that he is more than capable of defending himself.
I'm willing to come along, said Alexa, walking to Dr. Roman's side. I agree with Reach. This is important for the survival of the colony.
Captain Bosa rubbed his temples.
Let me propose a compromise. I will commit my rangers, and I'll allow Mr. Reach to accompany them, remotely.
Captain, said Reach.
These implants offer a wealth of opportunity, and I've been meaning to explore them anyway. You are aware, I assume, that you can receive remote visuals from Sergeant Tran and his squad's hard-mounted cameras and communicate with him quietly via the implant. That's as close as I'm willing to allow a civilian to go on a night patrol at this time.
Reach nodded.
That seems a fair compromise, Captain.
Bosa gave a little grunt of a laugh.
My orders for Sergeant Tran's team are to locate the Rupak base or to find evidence of where it is. We have 3 prisoners, and none of them are talking. If the opportunity comes to take another without revealing yourselves to the enemy, take it. You have the green light. I'll contact Sherman and let him know the plan.
Yes, Captain. Thank you.
Bosa waved him away and returned his attention to his tablets.
And I also want you to reconsider my offer. Second Platoon needs a leader, and you've become that leader, whether you wanted that or not.
Reach nodded.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
He looked at Alexa. You still want to come along? Remotely?
Yes, but I can do that from here. Good luck out there.
Thanks.
Reach left the array building.
Sergeant Tran, he transmitted. Your team ready?
We're already staged at center camp, sir. I take it you got the green light from Captain Bosa?
I did, but I'll only be accompanying you virtually.
Is your helmet equipped with a cam?
Negative.
I'll pick one up from supply and then meet you at the south end of camp near the Badger.
Roger, sir.
5 minutes later, Reach and Tran's Rangers were staged near the Badger. 2 soldiers were busy reloading its forward-facing machine gun. Tran nodded approvingly.
Ready when you are, sir.
Sherman walked up at that moment with one of his troops at his side.
Reach, you're staying behind, he said.
Roger that, Reach replied. I'm only observing remotely.
Tran looked to Lieutenant Sherman, who nodded. Tran then fiddled with the camera on the side of his helmet.
You getting it, sir?
And then there it was, an image in Reach's mind, like he was seeing through someone else's eyes. He had to reach out and steady himself from the sensation.
You all right? Sherman asked.
Yeah, just a little unusual.
Alexa, are you seeing this?
I am. Camera work is a little choppy. I prefer something smoother. John Ford,
can I do a picture-in-picture or something? Reach asked. Maybe transmit to my battle board instead of into my brain?
You can, she confirmed. It will be broadcast to your battle board until you end the transmission, but try to work on seeing the image from the other side of your mind. You can do it, even though you're not an AI. It just takes some getting used to.
I'll try.
Reach unfolded the battle board from his chest. Sure enough, there was the feed.
Okay, we're good.
The image faded from his mind. It was still there. He could bring it forward when he thought about it. But his focus was on the battle board.
Why don't you set up inside the Badger? Sherman offered. Warmer and fewer distractions.
Thank you, Lieutenant, said Reach.
Sergeant Tran?
Good hunting.
Reach crawled into the Badger's forward cabin, taking a seat in the back and trying to remain out of the gunner's way.
You'll be observing the third position in the marching order, Tran said through the implant. Column formation. Crease is on point.
Roger that, replied Reach as he settled into his chair. It was more comfortable than he guessed it would be, but then he'd been on his feet all day. Curling up on a smooth spot in the dirt would be comfortable at this point. The Rangers stayed low as they marched through the forest, moving purposefully and maintaining noise discipline, the safety of the lines becoming more abstract with each step they took. Amir's moon was bright, and the sky was clear. It was so much like home that it didn't seem possible. Something high above, nesting in the trees, gave a mournful sigh. Everyone halted and listened, but the sound didn't repeat. They kept moving. Reach found it difficult to keep an eye on the two men in front of him, Crease on point and Corporal Day, the man after. The trees were thick in this part of the forest, the black leaves filtering out the moonlight, the white trunks seeming to blaze, not truly bright, but breaking up Reach's ability to distinguish shapes. Everything was either a towering white trunk or a shadow. Plenty of places for their enemies to conceal themselves or set up an ambush. Crease raised a fist, signaling for everyone to freeze. Reach felt his heart drum as the column came to a stop, dropping to a knee.
What do you see? Tran asked silently through the implant.
The point man gestured the muzzle of his rifle toward something in the underbrush. Tran was soon speaking silently to the team via the implants.
Crease, go take a look.
Reach licked sweat from his top lip as the point man crept away. He soon returned, motioning for the team to follow.
V formation, Tran ordered.
The formation would allow everyone to direct the maximum firepower forward while still allowing them to cover their flanks. Reach felt an anxiety he wouldn't have expected for someone watching remotely. The air in the Badger felt stuffy and hot, though he could hear the tiny ventilation fans whirring. What the camera showed emerging from the bush was difficult to identify at first. It was an animal, that much was clear. An angular head, delicate muscle, and four slender legs. It reminded Reach of a doe, except it was much taller, the size of a draft horse. And where its tail might have been was a spray of iridescent feathers that glimmered in the moonlight. Nobody said anything, and no one thought to give some telepathic voodoo message of awe through the implant either. What could you say? Here was an alien. Not sentient, probably, but something never before seen by men in all of history, until recently. Reach thought in that moment that the silence was better. It seemed almost reverent. Something men once could only dream of in books and movies was now right in front of them. This moment in time was sacred.
Want me to kill it?
Massaw asked over the implant.
Negative, Tran answered, his amusement evident. We'll go hunting for one later.
The team watched as the creature walked slowly away, grinding something between its teeth, chewing like an herbivore. When it had moved sufficiently out of their path, Crease signaled for everyone to move again.
Resume column formation, Tran instructed over implant.
They moved through the space the creature had just emerged from. Reach saw Corporal Day step in a mounded pile of pellets. The forest ahead seemed to loom larger than it had at the start of their march. Not only were the trees taller, towering up to crowd out the moonlight, but alive with sound. Not the mournful calls from before, but low-pitched whistles and the soft rustling of the black leaves in a night breeze. Something small scurried through the underbrush. How many more creatures were out here? Unknown and unidentified. They all hesitated just for a moment, hyper-aware of just how alien and unknowable Amir and its secrets were. Reach wanted to say something, but words escaped him. Crease took a step forward, then another, and soon the Rangers were pushing onward. A shuddering, racked scream came from deeper within the trees. It wasn't human, but it was certainly a scream. The sound couldn't have been anything else. The team went low in response, and the forest went silent, as if in mourning or fear. Reach, though he was nowhere near the incident, hardly dared to breathe. He realized that he wasn't looking at the screen. He was watching the image from his mind, like Alexa had urged him to do. It had come naturally. Soon the animals relaxed, and the scurrying, whistling noises returned.
"Sounds like something just became lunch,"
Unga said, his deep voice filling the implant. Kreese motioned for them to move out once more. Reach let out his breath. The sound was almost supersonic to his senses in the quiet, humming interior of the Badger. A minute later, Kreese signaled for everyone to freeze again. He raised his rifle toward a new sound, held up one finger, then returned his hand to his rifle. One contact, that way. Reach noticed it too, just moments after the point man. And that had precluded him from reminding the ranger that they had the ability to communicate silently through their implants. But old habits still held on. And now, someone was sneaking through the woods. A human. Whoever they were creeping around with what looked like a bow and arrow. And they were definitely female. Kreese watched the woman through his rifle sights, finger hovering just outside the trigger well, like he was trying to decide whether to take a shot or not. Reach pinged the point man on his implant.
"Corporal, don't shoot."
"She's armed, sir," the point man replied. "Just keeping an eye on her.
Captain wants her captured if possible."
"All due respect, sir. This is a recon patrol, not a raid," said Tran.
"Roger, Sergeant, but Captain Bosa wants more prisoners, and this is the first female we've encountered. She might be a better talker." The woman at once stopped, turned in the general direction of the team, and sank low to the ground.
"Shit," transmitted Unga. "What did she hear?"
Maybe the point man had made some noise. Maybe someone's deodorant had gotten picked up on the breeze. Whatever it was, only the woman's head was now visible, sticking out just above the tops of the shrubs and saplings surrounding her.
"Easy," Tran said. "Keep her in your sights, but hold your fire unless she attacks. Massaw, come around to the right. Stay about 100 feet out. We'll keep an eye on her. But if she runs that way, you're going to be the one to stop her."
The woman jumped up and turned, then she ran for all she was worth away from the rangers.
"Go after her," Reach ordered.
Tran didn't hesitate. He took off after the woman, his team on his heels. The cam was next gen, stabilizing the bouncing of Tran's stride enough for Reach to maintain a clear picture of what was happening. The woman, though nimble, was easy to follow. With all the noise she was making, any one of the rangers could have tracked her blindfolded.
"She could be leading us into an ambush, sir,"
Tran warned, his voice unfazed through the implant. No rigors of running or shortness of breath to be heard. Doc Roman had really come up with something special here, the more Reach thought of it. They were streaking through the forest, or what it appeared to be a forest. In reality, Reach saw that it was merely a copse of dense trees that led out to a rocky terrain, the bottom of a bluff. Tran was close enough to grab her. He reached out, and the woman spun around and kicked him in the groin. Even with his body armor, the impact rattled his junk. But he continued to run as she dodged away and began to climb the steep, rocky cliff. Tran grabbed her ankle. The woman gasped, let go of the rock, and crashed down on top of him. The sergeant flipped her over, pinned her to the ground, and pointed his weapon at the back of her head, securing her arms behind her back with his free hand.
"If you move, I will shoot you,"
he warned, his voice a whisper, his eyes searching for anyone else. But she seemed to be alone. She was breathing hard, ragged breaths. There was a fresh, shallow wound on her shoulder. Tran signaled everyone to form a defensive perimeter.
"How is she?" Reach asked.
"Cut her arm somewhere along the way, but nothing fatal," Tran answered. "She was alone out here. Maybe a scout. Someone bring a kit and patch her up. Anyone got zip cuffs?"
"I do," said Corporal Vance.
"Stand back, Sarge."
A minute later, they had her bound, and the bleeding in her arm stopped. Tran took a knee and inspected the woman carefully.
"She looks different. Healthier. We taking her back to camp or pushing on, sir?"
"Back to camp," Reach answered, hoping that the decision to take the prisoner would make up for terminating the recon patrol he'd pushed to arrange. They weren't going to find a RUPAC base of operations now, but maybe she'd have something useful to say. Tran signaled a column formation. The prisoner struggled and winced as Tran lifted her to her feet, but a finger pointed at her face quieted her.
"You need to stay quiet," Tran whispered. "No noise, no gag. Make a peep, and it won't go well for you."
"Saskonik," the woman whispered.
Tran put an index finger to his lips.
"Shh."
He patted his rifle and nodded for her to get walking. The woman clamped her lips tightly together and moved with the column.
"There will be plenty of time to talk later," Tran whispered,
to himself more than her.
"Plenty of time for everything."